As one minister with us in Washington, D.C. stated, the resolution to name 1983 as the year of the Bible may be the most important civil document signed by the U.S. Congress since the adoption of the U.S. Constitution 200 years ago. No other nation in modern history has ever acknowledged God's Word, as did America with that congressional resolution. No wonder the atheists and the anti-Christians are gnashing their teeth. Most Christians who have a love of and a concern for the United States of America know by heart God's promise to His people in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The people who are called by God's name are Christians. The name of Jesus Christ is named upon them. For American Christians, God's promise in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is for America. This is the land we pray will be healed. However, in that verse, God says He will not hear His people's prayers and heal their land until they do four things. Let's consider them. Number one, humble themselves. That means place God above themselves. Number two, pray. And most Christians do that for many reasons. However, here it must mean to pray for forgiveness of sin and for the healing of the land, for that is what is promised in the verse. Number three, seek God's face. How do we do that? Well, in the prophet Amos, in chapter 5, we read God's admonition to Israel to seek Him, verse 4, for thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Verse 6 repeats the admonition. Verse 7 through 13 is a charge that they are sinning. And then comes verse 14 and 15, seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord thy God of hosts shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil, and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. Then follows this promise. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. If God were to heal our land, would that not be being gracious unto the remnant of Joseph? Our enemies in America tell us we Christians are bigots and right-wing fanatics if we protest evil and desire good. If we preach for righteousness in government and an end of government-supported wickedness, they call us religious bigots. Yet here in God's Word, it is very plain that to seek God at all is to seek good and not evil. We must seek obedience to His righteous laws, for that is good, and we must oppose and turn from disobedience to His laws, for that is evil. I do not believe it is correct to teach that the way to seek God's face is simply to pray and have great religious meetings. The way to seek God's face is to turn from sin and disobedience, turn to His righteous laws. That is the way for an individual. That is the way for a nation. In fact, through this same prophet, God Almighty condemned the people's great religious exercises while they yet remained in sin. Amos 5:21-23, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. Here is what God wants of Christians instead of religiosity in the next verse, verse 24. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. That is what God wants from His people, righteousness in the land, obedience, not songs and great professions of faith. Can you imagine trying to tell that to a church that has great gatherings, a beautiful choir, perhaps an orchestra of skilled musicians, to tell them that God is not pleased with their songs and their protestations of faith? 2 Chronicles 7:14 is God's answer to King Solomon's prayer in chapter 13. In 2 Chronicles 9, we read for what purpose God made Solomon king over Israel, verse 8, to do judgment and justice. How else can judgment and justice be done in America except according to God's laws? If you know any other way, please write and tell me. That may seem to be a long explanation of seeking God's face, but we've had almost two generations of teaching that we need only profess to be Christians to please God. It is about time someone began to teach the scriptural truth that we need to obey God to please Him. James wrote, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." James 1:22. And further he wrote in chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." To put it another way, works prove faith. Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Obedience to Jesus proves your faith in Jesus Christ. Then James writes something to which all Christians should pay heed. Verse 19, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Did you know that devils believe in Jesus Christ? James says so. And yet today some say, "Oh, all you have to do is believe. Don't concern yourself with anything else." But James says, believing is no great thing. Devils believe. But devils don't obey, do they? No, of course not. And that is what James is showing here, that true Christian believers are proven not by what they say, but by what they do. You want to know whether a man is a real Christian believer or whether he is a phony? See what he does, not what he says. James then closes with this, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." Yes, to profess faith and not follow it with obedience to God is a dead faith. That is why God said through Amos, he would not hear Israel's songs and professions of faith. What he wanted from them was righteousness and justice in the land. The fourth act of the people in 2 Chronicles 7:14 was turn from their wicked ways. I think I have answered that in the discussion of seeking God's face. We will see the turning as we seek God's face. As Christians seek God's face by learning God's laws for themselves and for the nation, with God's Spirit they will turn from transgression of those laws. They will turn from their wicked ways. Then, and only then, will God hear our prayers and God will heal our land. He will heal the United States of America. And don't you believe all those gloom and doomsayers who try to tell you that God or Russia is going to destroy America, or that America's future depends on how we treat other nations. Some evangelists have tried to convince Christians America is of no use or consequence to God except as a protector for the Jewish nation. And therefore, America will be treated by God, good or evil, according to how we treat the Jews. That whole philosophy flies in the face of 2 Chronicles 7:14 and all the rest of the Old Testament and also the New. God Almighty treats people and nations according to how they treat Jesus Christ and His Word, not according to any other criteria. And that brings me back to the subject of this series, the resolution by the U.S. Congress which was passed by them and became the basis for the President's Declaration that 1983 was the year of the Bible. As you will see when I read it, the U.S. Congress, by an official act of passing this into public law, acknowledged what I have just said, that our future welfare as a nation and as a people depends on how we treat God's Word. Yes? Public Law 97-280, is a most marvelous and amazing civil document. Two sermons preached to a joint session of both houses of Congress in 1857. Those 125-year-old sermons, eight of us personally delivered all of this printed material, including that book with the 125-year-old sermons, to 250 congressional offices in Washington in April. Five of the pages are an index to Bible law. The index is designed so the congressman or his aides can look up the subject of any legislation in which they have an interest. The index will give them the Bible book, chapter, and verse, where they can then read what God Almighty says about that subject. We admonish each one of them to use it, and we pray that many will. You should especially enjoy those old sermons, for in them, Reverend Pitts told the congressman in 1857 that according to the Bible, the United States was, quote, Israel restored, end of quote. You can imagine that raised eyebrows in the congressional offices when he said that. Reverend Pitt's sermons take about 57 pages in that book, so he must have preached for over 2 hours using the Bible to prove America way back in 1857 was fulfilling those things that were prophesied about regathered Israel and that America was God's chosen nation. It's all in the book. We presented all of this to a congressman in April, and lo and behold, a few days later, Interior Secretary James Watt, speaking at the graduation exercises at Jerry Falwell's Liberty Mountain Baptist College in Lynchburg, Virginia, called America, quote, God's chosen nation, end of quote. I don't know how well that speech of James Watt set with Dr. Falwell, since Falwell insists that Jewish-occupied Palestine is God's chosen nation. But Watt said it, Falwell students heard it, TV news reporters recorded it, and it is true. James Watt is just saying it 125 years after Reverend Pitts told it to the U.S. Congress. As we get further into the study of this marvelous Public Law 97-280, you will see why this packet is so important. I realize many in my audience have never heard of this congressional resolution for 1983 as the year of the Bible, and even many who know the president made that declaration have never seen or read a copy of the resolution itself. So you may not know why Pastor Emory thinks it is so amazing. So I will close this broadcast by reading that resolution. However, I must first tell you why you have not seen it reprinted in your newspaper or discussed to any extent on TV. It is very simple. American newspapers and television are largely owned and controlled by non-Christians. That declaration by the U.S. Congress about the Christian Bible being the Word of God and that America would do well to read and apply the teachings of the Holy Scripture is just about the last thing those people are interested in hearing, much less reporting to the American people. Therefore, the news media largely ignored it, and your only source of information about it has been Christian radio and television ministers and Christian publications, with the result that most of America still knows little or nothing about either the resolution itself or the declaration by the president. Anyway, here is the resolution itself, a copy of which is in our Year of the Bible packet. I will read each paragraph, make a short comment, and read on. I'll have much more to say about it on the next broadcast. Public Law 97-280, October 4, 1982, 97th Congress, Joint Resolution, authorizing and requesting the President to proclaim 1983 as the Year of the Bible, then comes the first whereas. Whereas the Bible, the Word of God, has made a unique contribution in shaping the United States as a distinctive and blessed nation and people. So, the very first words of the resolution say the Bible is the Word of God. You Baptists, Catholics, Unitarians, and Mormons, no more arguments. Congress passed a law which says the Bible is the Word of God. Second paragraph. Whereas deeply held religious convictions springing from the Holy Scriptures led to the early settlement of our nation. I covered that in much detail in my recent radio series titled America's Roots, and this paragraph also calls the Bible the Holy Scriptures. Third paragraph. Whereas biblical teachings inspired concepts of civil government that are contained in our Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. In past trips to the Congress, we always stressed that America was founded on the Christian Bible and our civil government is patterned after the holy pattern in God's Word. Here, Congress admits that to be true. Fourth paragraph. Whereas many of our great national leaders, among them Presidents Washington, Jackson, Lincoln, and Wilson, paid tribute to the surpassing influence of the Bible in our country's development, as in the words of President Jackson that the Bible is, quote, the rock on which our republic rests, end of quote. By quoting Jackson, the 97th Congress in effect endorsed as true the statement that the Christian Bible is the foundation upon which this nation was established. The Bible is the rock on which our republic rests. By the way, in that paragraph, Congress also acknowledged America is a republic. Taken with the previous paragraphs, one could say America is a Christian republic. Fifth paragraph. Whereas the history of our nation clearly illustrates the value of voluntarily applying the teachings of the Scriptures in the lives of individuals, families, and societies. That paragraph is an admission to the people and to God that applying the teachings, and that would mean obeying, would it not, has benefited America. In past years in Congress, that is one point we always stress, that America was blessed by God above all nations upon the face of the earth when we were in obedience to His Word. Congress here, in this resolution, admits that to be true. Sixth paragraph. Whereas this nation now faces great challenges that will test this nation as it has never been tested before. That paragraph admits that we are in for a time of trouble such as never was, no, not since we have been a nation. Seventh paragraph. Whereas that renewing our knowledge of and faith in God through Holy Scripture can strengthen us as a nation and as a people, now therefore be it resolved, and so on. This last whereas is an acknowledgement before God by our civil rulers that America can be strengthened by, quote, renewing our knowledge of and faith in God through the Holy Scripture. I remind you, I am reading a civil document. This is not a statement of faith by a Christian church. This is a statement of faith by a Christian nation. It is a law introduced into the civil body politic, written and rewritten, debated upon and approved by the elected representatives of the people, and signed into law by the highest civil authority in the nation, the President of the United States. America has spoken. Then, and only then, comes the part about 1983, quote, resolved by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, that the President is authorized and requested to designate 1983 as a national year of the Bible in recognition of both the formative influence the Bible has been for our nation and our national need to study and apply the teachings of the Holy Scriptures, approved October 4, 1982, end of quote. Yes, the political leaders of the United States of America, the greatest Christian nation of all history, have now spoken for the American people. They have spoken to God Almighty, They have acknowledged His Word brought our nation into being. They have admitted His past blessings upon us and have signed their names as our representatives to a document that states our future well-being depends on our studying and applying the teachings of the Bible. What did I read at the first? 2 Chronicles 7:14, which, by the way, is on the fourth page of the material we gave Congress. I will read it the way we put it in that material with some comments in parentheses. If my people, which are called by my name, the Christians, shall humble themselves, not humble the enemy, humble themselves, and seek my face, my law, and my will, and turn from their wicked ways, turn from their disobedience to my law, then, after they do all that, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, their transgression of my law, and will heal their land. Public Law 97-280 may not be 2 Chronicles 7:14, but it is a marvelous and, I believe, a God-guided beginning of America's repentance and turning to the God of the Christian Bible, to our Lord Jesus Christ. The resolution, which is now law in effect, it is the law of the land, for the Congress passed it and the President signed it. It is designated Public Law 97-280, as we told many congressmen personally. Whether they realized it or not at the time, they spoke for the American people to God Almighty and told Him all that the Lord has said we should do. I believe it is a sign of the times, a sign of the beginning of America's repentance and turning to Jesus Christ, which will bring about God's healing of our land. I have much more to say about this and about our visits in the congressional offices, so be sure and listen next week for part two of this three-part series titled The Year of the Bible and National Repentance. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.